Guys, we are cruising through the book of Exodus. I'm asking the question every time we meet, how do we navigate 2021? It feels like every time we gather, there's something different. There's a global event, there's an event in the country on top of the coronavirus. Vaccine rollout is absolutely being smashed in the UK, but we can see on the continent things are not looking so good. So these are still uncertain times. Whether you've had your jab, whether you're waiting for your jab, whether your jab's been delayed. We're still in 2021. It's still got loads and loads and loads of questions for us. I want to start with a question, and then we'll read the scripture. I heard a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast, as I do, and a guy posed the question. It was a conversation, and he said, do you see COVID, do you see this season as an interruption, or do you see it as a disruption? What's the difference, you might add? Well, an interruption perhaps works a little bit like this. You have a plan, there's something that you want to do, and there's that sense of interruption. So if it's an interruption, you're just looking at your clock thinking, when is it all going to go back to normal? A disruption is when your plan completely changes. And I want to suggest to us today that one of the ways that is helpful for us is to look at this season as a disruption, perhaps something that God will use to get our attention. So if you've got a Bible, if you would open the Bible at Exodus chapter 12. Alana kicked off Exodus chapter 12 there. I can just see a picture of my body and no head. There you go. What's happened to my head? My head has disappeared. But my head is still here, folks. I'm not a cat. As that Texan once said, there you go. So Alana brilliantly, folks, last week kicked off Exodus 12. And we are looking at Exodus 31 through to 51. And I'll read that to us now. The Exodus. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go. Worship the Lord as you requested. Take your flocks and herds, and as you have said, and go. And also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in cloth. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed through Ramesses and Sukkot. There they had about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many others went up with them, and also a large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, these are the regulations for the Passover meal. No foreigner may eat it. Any slave you've bought may eat it after you have circumcised him, but a temporary resident or a hired worker may not eat it. It must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. A foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part in it like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat it. The same law applies both to the native-born and to the foreigner residing among you. All the Israelites did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of the Egypt by their divisions. Wow. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. So is this season an interruption for you? You're just waiting for everything to go back to normal. Or is it a disruption? I'm not going to write on a whiteboard today, but I've bought a little thing from home. Now, I don't know about you, whether you like a plan. You might not be able to see this. Which one should I hold it to? I'll go for this camera here. Why not? It's a bit shiny. Which one are we going for, folks? Let's stick at a camera. Come on. Now, I've covered it up because this is in our kitchen, and it's divided up into what we're eating. My wife is very organized, and I'll come to that in just a minute, but it says what the day is, I'll put it there, what the day is, what we're eating, and then it's got a bit of a thing here about who's doing what on which day. And then if we run out of stuff here, you have to write it in here, so I get feedback. If we run out of anything, I have to get chalk, and I have to write on there, and then when we do the Tesco delivery. And then there's a prayer piece there. We've covered that up for GDPR reasons, folks, but it says stuff like Alan Ward, my Baptist colleague, in brackets, issues. That kind of stuff, folks, to get us praying. We like a plan, or more importantly, my wife, bless her, she likes a plan. We like life to be planned as best we can, and that's kind of normal. We've got a busy family, so to some extent, we do need a plan. And then I bought this as well, folks, for a bit of a demonstration. This is the Gruffalo 2021 Family Planner. There you go. Here we go. And that's got, again, all the stuff that we've got planned. It's all the stuff that's going on. Which can we look at it here? There we are. There's Rob. There's a list there. Life is planned. We like a plan. Particularly my wife, God bless her. And you're writing there, all we're doing, I have to write in there my evenings, and it's a bit blank because I haven't written the stuff in that I should have done. So sometimes it gets to an evening meeting, and I'll drop into conversation, and she'll feedback to say it's not written down. Here it is. How can we then plan in a season like this? There's nothing wrong with plans, as my wife points out to me. Plans are important, especially when you're busy and you're working hard and you've got stuff to do. Sometimes we need a plan. But what do we do in a season where we can't plan? Where do we put our faith? For example, what about this summer? Have you planned a holiday? You're going abroad. Well, good luck with that, with COVID on the rise in the mainland Europe. Like, what's happening in a couple of months? We just don't know. We can try to plan, but we are facing a time of such uncertainty. One of the things about the final plague that we see in Exodus chapter 11, the plague on the firstborn, which was this brutal, horrendous thing. I mean, we know the scriptures say that every household in Egypt would be affected. Like, if I was put myself into that situation, that would be my son. In fact, it would be me, because I'm the only child of my mum, the firstborn son. There was not a household in Egypt that wasn't affected. And whilst we read this with our Western privileged worldview and think, how can something so brutal happen? This week I've been doing a bit of research and reading Jewish scholars who understand things like the Holocaust and years and years of terrible oppression, and what this means for 430 years, God's people have been bound and contained in Egypt. And after repeated calls to let God's people go, Pharaoh says no. So why does he take the firstborn? And Alana talked about this brilliantly last week. One suggestion from some scholars is this, that the firstborn son was a bit like your life insurance policy. Your firstborn son was your pension pot. Your firstborn son was the one that was going to look after you. Your firstborn son was the savings account. Your firstborn son was the rainy day fund. Your firstborn son was the one that would look after you in old age. The firstborn son was your plan and your security. And do you know what? It says in Revelation 1:8 that he holds the key to death and life. And God loves his firstborn, Israel. And God steps in and brings a judgment on Egypt. And God claims their firstborn. And in so doing, Israel, God is as good as his word. And Israel, get up, and can walk free. You see, as we've known over the last couple of weeks, we've seen this build that God has drawn Moses to himself, that God has revealed in Moses' weakness, in his ability to speak, that God is powerful. To Pharaoh, who is the epitome of strength, God has said that he reigns, that he is the one that is strong, that he takes authority. And so, and as an Alana told us last week, that for God's people, that they cannot save themselves, that the only way that they can see salvation is to take a lamb, a beautiful lamb, a lamb without defect, to slaughter it and to put blood over the lintel. And so when the destroying angels come, they pass over the blood. And in the same way, as we head towards, as we head through this season of Lent, next week, it's Palm Sunday, is next week, isn't it, Palm Sunday? Praise the Lord. And it's COVID times, and it could be anything. Is it July, August? I don't know. Anyway, it's Palm Sunday next week. And then we're heading into Holy Week. We celebrate the Lamb of God, John says, John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so this moment in the life of the people of God becomes a moment for you and I. That as God passes over through Egypt, taking the firstborn of the Egyptians, he passes over God's people, not because of their Jewish identity, not because of their religiousness, but because of the Passover lamb. Because it literally means just to pass over. You see, here's the thing. As God's judgment is on Egypt and on Pharaoh and on their self-reliance, on their strength and their power, on their gods, their multitude of gods, even Pharaoh is not untouched by God's power. Even the one of great strength, the hardest heart, the kind of dictator of his day, untold riches, untold power, in that moment, surrenders. Summons Moses and Aaron, something he's never said he'd do, and then says, go, go, go. And the people go quickly. They have no time to gather their things. They have no time to let the bread rise. They just go with the things they've got. They take the things that God had said that they would do. And then they make their way out, heading out of Egypt. Here's the thing. There's this kind of image. There's loads of things that we could say about the Passover. And you know, as we journey through the book of Exodus, we're going to come back to the Passover. And as we head into Easter, there's going to be so many references to Jesus being the Passover lamb. There's going to, that what happens here is kind of ingrained into Christianity. It's how we understand that we are saved by the sinless one, Jesus, who dies in our place. We can't escape it. It forms the very bedrock for when we celebrate Holy Communion. And different Christians in different places celebrate that meal in different kind of ways. But there's something around how God challenges and breaks the self-reliance of the Egyptians, how he exposes it to say that what you're building your life on is yourself, and how he says, he raises up his people, his son, and says, it is me who brings you salvation. It is me who sets you free. You see, we're living in a time now where God is exposing, in many ways, our own self-reliance. I don't know about you, but I love the fact. I love a Gruffalo calendar, actually. I've got to be honest, you can't go wrong with a Gruffalo calendar. But you know, if I'm brutally honest, I wish in August I'd gotten where we're going on holiday. If I'm brutally honest, a little bit pooped. Can you say that? Now, I realise when I've said these things before, people say, I have to explain to my kids what pooped meant, okay? In other words, a little tired, right? It's not a right to go on holiday. It's a kind of this middle class thing that we've all got going on, right? You say, oh, I'm not going on holiday. You say, I'm not living in the Yemen. You know, I'm not facing the things that lots of people are in the world. What about you? But one of the things of this whole year, because it's Tuesday, we celebrate that it's a year since lockdown. Is all of a sudden we're not quite as in control of our lives as perhaps we once were, or we thought we were, or we like being in control of. And we've got this, there's this amazing moment, isn't there, where God, big God, says to his people, get up and go. Just to go. They take what they can, but then they're heading out. They're heading for freedom. They're going. They're going with literally the things that they have and the things that they can take and enough food to keep them going. There isn't so much a plan, but the call is to go. 430 years that they've been there. And now the moment has come. And it's funny, isn't it? Because it seems to me that in verse 43 that then the Lord says to Moses and to Aaron, he then repeats the Passover. So God has, as Alana talked about last week, God has made very clear what it is there to do as the destroying angels come, as he brings his judgment. But then he says, as you head out and as you head in for freedom, before God has brought challenge to the Egyptian self-reliance, the call upon his people is self-consecration. That he gives quite detailed instructions on how they are to celebrate the Passover. And the idea is that you even are to eat bitter herbs. I mean, it's not like it's this amazing meal, like an M&S dine-in for two, a beautiful lamb. It's like you kind of cook the whole thing and you eat bitter stuff just to relive that moment. In every generation is to be reminded of what a difficult, difficult season that is. But in the midst of that, in the midst of, as you taste that bitterness on your mouth, it's to really relive this experience that God is there in the midst of it. That God is with them. God has heard them. As God has brought them into salvation. And as they're to self, they are to consecrate themselves. That kind of word, to make themselves holy. To give themselves over to God. In the midst of the disruption of this season. It must have been terrifying. If for 430 years you've only ever known Egypt, and now you're stepping into the total unknown, it must have been terrifying. I don't know about you, but if I'm stepping into the unknown, I really just like to reach for a plan. Now, this is a meal rota, so this isn't going to help me much. But I'd at least like to know what we're eating next Tuesday, you know? Or I'd love to know what the plan is. And I don't particularly like a plan, as people will testify. I'm pretty good at going with the flow. But even still, I'd like a bit of routine. I'd love to take me out. If I was them, I'd want to take my Gruffalo calendar. You know, they leave in the springtime. A bit like we're in the spring now. It's the start of the Jewish New Year. It's the start of a new season. So where are we going, God? What are we going to do? And they don't know. Well, God, what are we doing next Friday? Well, it's date night next Friday, so what are we cooking? I don't know, because I've got to get the Tesco delivered. Well, it ain't happening. We're just to go. And the only thing is consecrate yourself. Take this thing, this Passover. Take this ritual. And become part of your life and remember his faithfulness. Remember his goodness. That's it. That's it. Is that it, God? Is that it? So what do we do, folks? This disruption, this interruption, a huge traumatic event. I'd have been terrified. Wouldn't know what was going on. And you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the journey for God's people just kind of begins now. I mean, it's amazing. They've been under slavery and then they're heading out. They're going to cross the Red Sea. It's going to be like, it's 40, they've got 40 years. And the thing that God tells them to do is to take this meal, to remember his faithfulness. And if you want to come and you're not circumcised, that's quite a commitment, folks. That is quite a commitment. To consecrate yourself. The next couple of chapters, we begin to see this theme of consecrating yourself. Consecrating yourself. I want to reflect today, if I can, is this is a season less about plans. For all the planners out there, sorry, folks. It's less about planning. The next set, and you know, sometimes plans are awesome, but they can sometimes make us feel safe, like we're in control. 2021, we've got to get used to the fact we're less in control. But what I want to suggest to us today is that 2021 perhaps is not just the interruption where we're waiting for everything to go back to what it was. I don't think that's going to happen. I think 2021, if we're going to navigate this season well, is the disruption that God is bringing to us. It's time for change. And I think it's time for us to think about what it means to have holy habits or to develop habits. What it means to build character within us. What it means to be able to walk this season, less clinging onto the plan, less clinging onto the fact that one day this is all going to go back to normal, but to walk with character, to pursue character, to pursue habits. Why habits? Do you know, 40%, I've been on Wikipedia. No, I've actually read a book, folks, which I'll quote at the end. 40 to 50% of all human behavior is habitual. I didn't know that, but apparently it is. Give you an example. I'm driving my son in a courtesy car to get our other car. The brakes were a bit dodgy. It's always good to have brakes, isn't it? So we're driving in the courtesy car. It was bright turquoise with the writing on the side. You know those courtesy cars that everybody knows? Well, if you're 6 years old, it's like best day ever. So we're driving along, and I'm not used to this car. It's a petrol. We drive a diesel. The brakes, like you touch them, super light, so do an emergency stop all the time. I couldn't hear it because I'm used to driving a diesel, so it felt like, anyway. So my son, he's chatting away, and he's like, he said, I think I could drive. I think you're six, you can't touch the pedals. But okay, so we're chatting about what it is to drive. And you know, he found it really hard to explain. Because I've been driving for over 20 years. In fact, I passed my test in November 1996. Sam, you weren't even born in November 1996, were you? You weren't even a twinkle in your dad's eye in November 1996. It's like, it's become a habit. Like a lot of things that we do are just habitual. It's a repeated pattern. Like take, for example, there are good habits and there are less good habits. I've given up social media for Lent because I found that was getting an unhelpful habit for me. That's not a comment on social media. It's just talking about my own personal preference. What does it mean for us to generate habits in this season? And why is it hard for us to think about habits? Well, let me tell you why I think it's hard for us to think about habits in the church. I think for a charismatic church like us, and I want to be super clear what I say now, and I may not articulate myself very well, so I realize that this may cause offense. It's genuinely not meant to cause offense in any way, shape, or form, okay? We're driven towards experience, and we're driven towards vision, and we're driven towards motivation and inspiration. That's what kind of keeps us going. And that's been pretty much the hallmark of the life of our church, and rightly so. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's a good thing. But there are seasons in life where you need motivation and you need vision. And there are seasons of life where actually you just need to think about habits. Because we're in a season in 2021 where it is less about inspiration. I don't know about you, but 2020, not the most inspiring time. I know there are those people who this is the best global pandemic ever and they're just smashing it. God bless those people. Honestly, seriously, God bless them. But we're in a season where it's a bit like a lament. It's a season of death. It's a season where people are isolated. It's a season of pain. So it's not necessarily an inspirational time. And if you're thinking, man, I was looking this for inspiration, just go to Netflix or go right now or something else, okay? Because what I want us to do today is think about wisdom. What does it look like to walk in this season? One of the reasons that we don't think about habits is because they're not always sexy. And they don't always make us feel good. When we start to cultivate a habit, we don't do it because we feel inspired. We do it because we're wanting to embrace a particular identity. The people of God, as God has liberated them, are to inhabit the identity of people who have been saved, literally. And so it's from that place that they inhabit new rituals like the Passover and latterly other things that remind them in their daily lives what it is to walk as in the identity of people who have been saved. Let me give you a personal example. Liam Brennan loves Aladdin. He's a great runner, if you're on Strava. Don't follow him on Strava. It's pretty depressing. Now, if I'd set myself a goal to become like Liam Brennan, you know, I might have to find something. I was going to say, I'm not going to say because it's live. But if my goal is to be, it's not going to happen. If my goal every day is just to run the race that is before me, then I'm going to find that I become a runner. And I've become a runner. I'm not quite on his leagues. Anyway, yes. I'm definitely not his leagues. You see, the point is, we don't establish patterns to gain an identity. We start from identity and we establish patterns from that place. So the people of God, God has saved them. So what does it look like as a saved people? It looks like people to celebrate him. Let me give an example of where I think we can think about habits in this season. Bearing in mind, in November, Vision Sunday, we looked at what it is. We're meeting a six. We're meeting smaller groups, threes and ones. They're kind of units of meeting space in the next 6 months as a church we're going to be looking at, because we can't do the big inspirational gathering on a Sunday for a while. Certainly not what we've been used to. Reading the scriptures. Let's take that for a moment. Biblical literacy is on the rise. I want to encourage us all. All of us can do this. The average social media usage every day is 2 hours 33. Okay, that's quite a lot of time on social media. I spend quite a lot of time on social media. Not now, because it's Lent, because I've given it up. All of us could start a habit tomorrow where we say, right, our goal is not to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, calling down the angels. We're not going to do it. We're going to set a realistic habit. This is how you set habits. You're realistic and you start small. But we could all set the alarm clock maybe a little bit 5 minutes earlier or 10 minutes earlier. And we could, all of us could do that. All of us have the same amount of time, no matter how busy we are. This is my pattern. And I'd love to hear from you guys whether this is helpful or not, because over the next couple of months, we really want to serve the church in this way. I get up pretty much the same time most days, even on a weekend, because I've got into a habit of getting up early. Let me just illustrate with this. I get up about 6 o'clock. Sometimes I get up at 5, but mostly I get up at 6. Now, my wife's watching. Sometimes she'll whack me when the alarm goes off because I don't get out of bed straight away. But my aim is to get up at 6 o'clock every day. I put on the same pair of tracksuit bottoms. I do wash them occasionally, folks, okay? And I wear one of two fleeces. It's a habit. So I get up early. I go downstairs. I get one of the same two mugs, because we've got two mugs the same. Now, you're thinking this guy's weird. There's a little bit of weirdness in this. I appreciate it. Absolutely. But it's a habit. It's all about building habit. So I make a coffee, sometimes two, because I need a little bit of something to get me going in the morning. I sit in the same sofa next to the French windows looking out to our garden. I sit in the same position. I pick up the same Bible. I put on my same headphones. And every day, I listen to the scripture. And I listen to it, partly because of dyslexia, it's easy for me to listen. I read the similar stuff every single day, and I've been doing it for years. It's a habit and it's a pattern. And if I don't do it, I miss it. Now, if we go back to when I was at theological college in 2005, I used to get up early. I'd lie on our sofa, I'd fall asleep. My wife would come, and I used to say I was soaking in the spirit, but I was absolutely out for the count. It has taken me years to get into a place to build a routine, to build a habit. Why? Because if you're inspired on a Sunday, the inspiration doesn't necessarily lead to great habits. Habits is a choice. And the thing about habits is, habits say, well, who do I want to become like in 10 years' time? I don't know about you, but I just want to know God's voice. That isn't going to happen like that. It's habits. It's not sexy. And when you do it for the first couple of weeks, it takes 6 weeks to create a habit. Got a psychologist in the back. He's putting his arms. I think it's right. That's what I read. So it takes 6 weeks. You could start small. But be consistent. Every day you create a habit. Second thing is prayer. There's an amazing book by Pete Gregg, How to Pray. Start a conversation with God every day. Start small. Aim for 5 minutes. You're going to talk to him. You're just going to have a conversation. God, I'm struggling today. I'm a bit worried about this. It's a conversation. Make a decision to listen to him. Start a habit. Character. The pursuit of character. The third thing might be accountability. I want to say more about accountability over the next. I think accountability is a liberating, beautiful thing that's brought so much freedom to my life. For 8 years, every Friday, pretty much without on and off, the guy that I'm accountable with sometimes challenges or we're away. For 8 years, at 8:45, I call my friend and we do accountability for half an hour. sometimes longer. For 8 years. When I don't do it, I really miss it. Because it's become a habit. When we set out to do it, we didn't say, let's do this, it'll take it. We just started it, and it became a habit. Why are habits so important? Habits form character. Good habits or bad habits? The question is, what habits do you have? Are they helpful? Are there unhelpful habits? I was watching a YouTube clip in the week of a Christian leader talking to a psychologist about the power of habits, and he said this, that the Christian leader said, we fall to the level of our systems. Why was the church, the early church, so powerful in pandemics? Because they had a habit of serving the poor. And when the pandemic came, they just did what they had habitually done. Tonight, we've got a conversation with Egil Elling Ellingsen, who wrote this book. What an amazing name. Who wrote this book called The Kindness Effect. And we've been thinking about what it is to be kind. And we're going to have a conversation with him tonight at 7 o'clock at the Late Late Gathering. You'd be so welcome to join us. That church has influenced their city and the whole of Norway. Why? Because it's a habit. Every day, looking for an opportunity to bring a blessing. They didn't start out, let's write a book and talk to some bloke in Sheffield, like when they started out 15 years ago. Every single day, character, pursuing just a habit. And it grew, the Spirit breathed upon it. Got so many bits of paper. The truth is this, folks, we live in a world where we are bombarded by so much stuff now. Like, I was thinking the other day, I get messages. When I was on social media before, like, I used to get messages on Instagram, Facebook. We use Teams, praise Jesus for Teams, but get messages on Teams, get messages on WhatsApp. Remember text? That's like really noughties now. Text, there used to be a thing called text messages. Did I say emails? I don't know. There's like 6 or 7 forms of communication. It's just like, it is intense. And then I can't remember whoever replied or something. It's just crazy stuff. We are bombarded every day with so much stuff. If we assume that we can only genuinely meet the presence of God where we're in this building. And I'm not knocking that at all, because we can see that in the Old Testament. People go to the temple, or in the New Testament, there's patterns of synagogue and all that stuff. But we can meet with God individually in his presence. Moses did. It's called intimacy. And the thing that puts us off is because we don't realize sometimes to get there, we just have to start a habit. And as we start that habit, and as we give that time to God, God loves it when we come into his presence. He loves us. And if we're going to embrace him in this season, yes, it is about gathering online like this, but it's also, and I've just talked about a couple of examples, and we'll talk about some more of the next, but there is something about all of us making the decision today. Who do we want to be in years to come? What kind of church do we want to be in years to come? What kind of church is he calling us to be? And part of the answer to that question will rest on what kind of habits we put in place. And you know, guys, so when I did tribal training here 20 years ago, where Mick Woodhead was my mentor, and lots of people are still around in the city now. A guy called Dave Ducker said this. He said, and he leads St. Philip's Church, amazing guy. And he said this, if you want to get up early in the morning, make the decision the night before. Don't wait for the moment, because you'll hit snooze. So today, as God releases and rescues his people, he tells them to go with this model of the Passover. That's like once a year. That's hardly a habit. But as God then, he reveals other things to them, to the rituals and habits there to remember God's presence. Into a journey that is totally uncertain. And 2021 is a year where we long for the plan, but we ain't probably going to get it, folks. It's a year for walking by faith. And one of the ways that God will grow faith in us is if we develop habits where we're encountering him in the everyday, every single moment. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say to our church today, start tomorrow, start small. On the Bible, let me just give you one plug. Bible in 1 year app is absolutely amazing. Clarissa and I have done it for a long time now, about 18 months, nearly 2 years. It is outstanding. There's three options. There is the youth version, there's an express version for about 10 minutes, and then there's a longer version, about 25 minutes. It is amazing. If you want to change in your life, saturate or start your day with the Word of God in the Bible. It will change your life.